This portion of the broadcast has been pre-recorded. We want to keep you safe over this summer, and while unfortunately as fun as summer is, there are a lot of dangers that go along with it. Whether you are planning a beach vacation and you want to stay safe near the water, maybe you're staying close to home at the community pool, or even if you're just grilling by your own home, we want to make sure that you are doing so as safely as possible. And so we brought in our friend Hope Roten. She's the executive director of the Mid-Central PA chapter of the American Red Cross. This is Contact with our friends at Red Cross. And I'm Brittany Madera. This portion brought to us by Lifespan Family Services, Adoption and Foster Care.
Each day in Pennsylvania, there's at least 15,000 children taken from their homes due to abuse or neglect. Foster parents provide homes to these needy children. Lifespan Family Services trains, supports, and compensates foster parents to address this problem. Call Lifespan Family Services today at 375-1314 or drop in at the Du Bois Mall or at Lane Avenue in Punxsutawney. Lifespan Family Services, helping people help children every day. 375-1314.
Well, as we get ready for this summer, we know that summer's a fun time. We're planning family vacations. We're spending more time together. And now, as hopefully we reach the tail end of the pandemic, we're able to spend a little more time with each other in person. And as you're doing all those fun things, just remember, summertime, unfortunately, also comes with some dangers. So we're going to talk with Hope Roten. She's the executive director of the Mid-Central PA chapter of the American Red Cross. Good morning, Hope.
Good morning.
So let's talk about all of the fun things that we can do and how we can stay safe in the meantime of doing them. I know a lot of people, unfortunately not myself, have some beach vacations planned. Didn't get the beach vacation planned this year, but for a lot of us, that's a big summertime experience, is going down to the beach or maybe even one of our local lakes or places like that. So let's talk about water safety. A lot to talk about here. Let's start off with the beach.
Sure. So as you said, you know, warmer weather hopefully means for us enjoying the weather. And whether you're at the beach or, like you said, you know, local body of water, lake or a pool, we want to encourage people to be water smart by having swimming skills and then knowing how to help others. So we'll start with the beach, but learning how to swim in the surf is completely different than swimming in a pool. And I know we were talking, you know, I grew up swimming competitively, but that's in a pool. That's a, right. The beach is a whole different ballgame. You know, so we want to encourage people to swim at lifeguard protected beaches within the designated swimming area. That's super important, making sure that you are obeying all the instructions of the lifeguards, you know, will hopefully to keep you safe. Making sure that you're keeping alert, checking local weather conditions is very important. And remember that as far out as you go, you do have to have enough strength to swim back. So making sure that you're keeping that in mind. And a big thing is for inexperienced swimmers or people who are non-swimmers, making sure that you are properly fitted with the U.S. Coast Guard approved life jackets is just another important step you can take.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have concerns, and you see those signs all the time about rip currents at beaches. That is another part of, you know, making sure that you have the energy and not going out too far.
Absolutely. And rip currents are responsible for deaths on our nation's beaches every single year. And it's actually the reason for the most rescues on beaches across the country.
I believe that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. And the one important tip that, you know, we want to be able to give is that if you are caught in a rip current, you want to make sure that you're swimming parallel to the shore until you're out of the current. And once you're free, turn and swim toward the shore. And to remember that, you know, if you can't swim, if you're too exhausted, try to float, try to tread until you're out of harm's way.
You know, that's so easy to say in the moment. And then until you get into that situation, yeah, that's tough to remember all of these things. So,
but I think that's important, you know, to be prepared and to practice for those things. So then it almost becomes second nature.
Exactly.
If that does happen to you, you're not caught up. Certainly you're going to be afraid, but you're not caught up in this state of panic of, I have no idea what to do. This is something where, you know, if you're a parent, talking through that with children or, you know, adults drown as well, making sure that you as an adult have that plan and are prepared with that knowledge ahead of time is equally as important.
Yeah. I know some people get annoyed, you know, hearing these repetitive things and seeing those signs all the time. The more times that you see that sign, the more times that you hear it, the more whenever you actually need it, it's going to be there with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now that is at the beach. Of course, the water still exists in other places like our community pools. So how do we stay safe at just a general pool?
Absolutely. So I do think there are some parallels between water safety at the beach and water safety, you know, at a lake or at a pool. Same thing, inexperienced swimmers, weaker swimmers, making sure that you're wearing that life jacket, you know, making sure that you're swimming in supervised areas, being watched by lifeguards. Another important thing is making sure that you never swim alone, making sure that you always have a buddy. Obviously, if you're alone and something happens to you, there's no way that you're going to be able to get help unless hopefully there's a patron around, but you certainly don't want to rely on that.
Right. Yeah. How about for those people who have a pool at home, maybe you have an above ground or an in-ground pool, how do we keep our family safe?
And I was in that camp growing up. We were fortunate enough to grow up at a house that had a pool. So, you know, we had a fence around our yard, making sure that not anyone could wander in. Again, never going in the pool alone, but also making sure that you have the tools and the resources necessary for, you know, if something does happen, you would be able to help someone who's in distress. So something that you could throw, like a ring or a reaching, you know, a pole, something that you would be able to reach to someone who's in distress.
So why is that important? Why can't I just go into the water and save somebody?
So I think people have the best intentions, but the reality is that even if you are the strongest swimmer, you too could become a victim. And, you know, from experience, I grew up lifeguarding and I've made rescues and I've seen rescues happen. People's immediate inclination is to grab on to anything or anyone that's there. And the only thing that would be worse is you trying to help someone, jumping in after them. And now there's two people in the water that are in distress.
Wow. Yeah. And it's not like they are trying to do it. It's just a reaction.
It's your natural inclination. You know, your survival instincts are kicking in. And so that's why we tell people reach, throw, but never go. So if you do have that ring, that flotation ring that you can throw in, or a pole, or, you know, something else, if you're at a body of water, a stick, a branch, anything that you can get to the person who's in distress without having to go in, obviously that's ideal.
Yeah. Now, before we move on, can we just mention some signs of drowning? Because sometimes it doesn't always look like drowning.
Yeah. So, you know, distressed swimmers, I guess there's different stages to it. But someone who you can kind of tell, and I know this sounds kind of very hypothetical, but you can tell when someone's getting tired, when mm-hmm. someone becomes distressed, you almost see them lean back. And I'm leaning back now, obviously no
right.
one can see, but, almost like a leaning back and a starting to kind of, like almost like a thrashing at the water.
Panic.
Yeah. And the worst thing you can do when you feel distress, your body's going to tighten up and that's going to make you sink.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the first signs of a distressed swimmer.
Yeah. Well, important to keep a lookout for all of that water safety stuff. Very, very important for the summer. Now, if you are, instead of swimming in the pool, maybe you're during that summertime celebration, maybe you're over by the grill instead. A lot of people throwing those parties, grilling outdoors. What do we need to know about grilling and summertime safety?
Well, and an interesting statistic is that grilling is incredibly popular, obviously. So about 3/4 of U.S. adults have used a grill, yet grills spark about 10,000 home fires every single year.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're saying we do it, but we're not good at it.
I mean, there's 10,000 home fires a year.
Wow.
Which is, you know, and like I had mentioned to you before, home fires are the number one disaster that we respond to.
Right.
So this is something that is incredibly preventable. So making sure that, you know, you're always supervising your grill. When we talk about normal cooking safety and we talk about cooking on the stove, we tell people, keep an eye on what you fry. Don't walk away from what's on the stove. Same thing really applies when you're talking about a grill. You don't want to add charcoal starter fluid once the coals have already been ignited. You don't ever want to grill indoors. And you know, that encompasses a lot of things. So obviously, don't grill inside your home, but also a camper, a tent, anything that could potentially be enclosed. Make sure that everybody, so yourself, kids, pets, stays away from the grill. It's very important. Make sure it's out in the open, away from your house, not
right up on the side of your house. You don't want, you know, the siding, God forbid, to catch on fire. And making sure that you're using long-handled tools so you're not putting your arm kind of
right
in,
there in the grill.
Right there in the grill.
You will become the grilled meat.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody wants that. So all of those things are, you know, very important to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, excellent. Now, as we are out and about during the summer, myself in particular, I'm not a big fan of the heat.
Me neither.
Yeah. You can always put on more clothing, only a certain amount that you can take off before you start getting into trouble. So as we are dealing with all this heat, let's talk about actually dealing with that heat, where we can go if we feel like, you know, it's just getting too much, and how we can keep ourselves and others safe.
Sure. So excessive heat causes more deaths than any other weather events. Hot cars, I think we see it on the news a lot over the summer, but they can be incredibly deadly. You never want to leave your child or your pet in the vehicle. The inside temperature of a car can reach 120 degrees very, very quickly. And aside from just the vehicle aspect of this, not everybody has air conditioning. So if there are people, you know, in your family, in your neighborhood, kind of in your network that don't have AC and we're going through heat wave, make sure that you check on them.
Yeah.
Make sure that they're staying hydrated. And if you don't have air conditioning and you need to seek refuge, you know, during the day, you can look for kind of indoor spaces. So schools, libraries, malls, theaters, places where we know that the AC is going to be on, and you can get a little bit of a break from the heat.
Yeah, definitely important there. Now, that is heat safety.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, heat is not the only weather that we experience during summer. We also had quite a few thunderstorms, even just recently. What can you tell us about staying safe during the thunder and lightning?
So if you hear the thunder, you are close enough to be in danger from the lightning. You definitely want to make sure that you get indoors, postpone anything that was going on. Outdoors. If a severe thunderstorm warning is issued, you want to take shelter in a substantial building or in a vehicle with the windows closed. If you're in a mobile home, get out of it. The wind can very easily blow that over. You know, avoid electrical equipment, telephones, keep away from windows. I think things that we subconsciously know.
Right.
But just, you know, bringing that to the forefront of your mind, like you said, there have been some really bad storms over the last week, 2 weeks. So it's important that you think ahead for those things.
Definitely. What about hurricanes? Is this hurricane season?
We are in it.
Oh boy.
we are in it. The Atlantic hurricane season runs June 1 to November 30th.
Okay. So we're going to be in it for a while. And although we're not on the coast, we can certainly see some residual effects from that.
Well, and what year was it? 2011, Hurricane Sandy. I mean,
yeah.
we felt effects of that. And I was in Lancaster County at the time, but we experienced local flooding. So certainly it can happen close to us and we can feel the residual effects. But 2020 was, you know, such an active year for storms, and the experts are predicting we're in another above average season for hurricanes.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, the Red Cross is ready to spring into action if and when needed.
Right. I mean, this is kind of what the Red Cross is built for, is not just, you know, fires and local emergencies, but also you actually go to other locations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are people from our local chapter. We have a 10 county area that we serve, kind of in the mid-central part of the state. So we have local volunteers who will deploy all around the country. I have gone on 6 national deployments. So the most recent, I believe it was Georgia for Hurricane Dorian.
Wow. What was that like?
Well, I mean, so I've had 6 very different experiences. I've experienced the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. That was actually my first deployment.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a quick learning curve there.
Definitely jumped in with both feet.
Yes.
Yes. And I actually spent 2 deployments there. So I was there for 3 weeks. I think I came home for a week and a half, and then I went back for another 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah,
thank you for
course.
Being there.
Of course.
And it seems like whenever something happens, the Red Cross really does step in, whether it is, you know, you have a house fire that is in your own community. People are looking for those helpers. And Red Cross has been there, whether it is something as big as Hurricane Maria or something Not to say that it is small, but certainly, you know, a smaller circumstance like just one house fire, you're going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, yes, I'm a bit biased, but I do think that, you know, we have such an incredible mission, you know, to prevent and alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies. What a powerful mission to get to be a part of. And obviously, we can't do that without the generosity of our donors. And we certainly can't do that without our volunteers. And just to kind of give you an idea, you know, our workforce is about 90% volunteer.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, 90% volunteer. So more than likely, if you see someone who's assisting with the Red Cross, you know, whether they're responding to a fire, they're helping at a blood drive, or they're likely a volunteer. So these are people who just feel such a calling to the mission, you know, that they're coming out and helping. And nationwide, we have about 21,000 trained disaster workers. So a question I get a lot is, well, what if there's two or three big disasters back to back? And we're so fortunate because our volunteers really do answer the call to go out and help people all across the country.
Who are these volunteers? I mean, what personality trait makes you just want to just throw everything down and say, okay, there's an emergency, let's go, let's help?
Well, I think the one thing that I tell people usually when they ask me about, like, should I become a volunteer or what can I volunteer for? Basically, if people have an interest, we have a volunteer position. So aside from disaster, I mean, we have hundreds of volunteer positions. Mm-hmm. But I will say, you know, the one thing that I think every volunteer I've ever met kind of has in common is really just exactly what you're talking about, just this desire to really give back and to help. And, you know, we've especially seen that during times of disaster. Mm-hmm. People will always be calling, how can I help? What can I do? So I just think there really is this common thread of, you know, I want to help my fellow man. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that we don't think about is when we send people, you know, like I went to California, right? So the skills that I learned in California and the skills that our volunteers learn all across the country, they bring back
right
to our local community. So I hope that gives people kind of peace of mind to know that we have such, you know, not only dedicated, you know, good-hearted people, but we also have people who have these lived experiences of large-scale disasters. So we have really, you know, we're really building a lot of local capacity. So, you know, if or when it does happen here, you know, you can trust that, you know, we've got a trained volunteer contingent.
Absolutely. I know this is not what I originally brought you here to talk about with summer safety, but I think it's good to mention that no matter what time of year it is almost undoubtedly there is a need for blood.
Absolutely.
And Red Cross, of course, we know our Red Cross blood drives. What is one of those like? If you have never been to a Red Cross blood drive, if maybe you're a little needle averse and you've never actually been to either a mobile unit or somewhere else, what can we expect to see?
So I'll kind of give you just a little background or 30,000 foot view of blood. So the Red Cross is actually responsible for 40% of the nation's blood supply. And, you know, before I got into this work, I wouldn't have realized that every 2 seconds, somebody in our country needs blood.
Wow.
So I think oftentimes people say, well, you know, how much could someone think of the reasons why people could need blood? A car accident. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have a trauma victim could need up to 100 units of blood. I mean, that's so much. We have people who have experienced, you know, cancers or sickle cell or, you know, just a plethora of reasons why people could potentially need blood. And believe it or not, the number one reason that people don't give blood is not their fear of needles.
What is it?
It's because they haven't been asked.
Really?
So may I give a shameless plug?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So shameless plug, we would love for you to donate blood. Like I said, it is so necessary to make sure that we have a stable, safe, secure blood supply for people who need it. So to find a blood drive near you, you can visit redcrossblood.org. Or you can download our free blood donor app. And in that app, you can fill out your health history as part of the rapid pass. So that is part of the blood drive, right? So you can kind of expedite that and make it a bit of a quicker process. The process of donating blood is not a very long one. If you do your health history at the drive, everything from start to finish will likely be done in under an hour.
Wow. So
taking a little bit of time out of your day for literally the gift of life is so important. And, you know,
giving blood can save up to 3 lives. Your donation can save up to 3 lives.
And this can't, it can't be manufactured.
It cannot.
It has to come from, you know, a willing donor who says, okay, I'll take that hour out of my day and I'll do this. I'll give blood. You can't just throw money at the problem until it's done.
No, and I honestly couldn't have said it better myself. It's completely true. We really do rely on the generosity of people who feel so moved to donate blood. And I talked about the app a little bit, and I was actually talking with somebody about this the other day. It shows you where your blood ends up.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool is
that? So if you're really like, how much of an impact does this make? It will show you. So if you've ever questioned, you know, we call it the arm-to-arm journey from when you give your donation to when it reaches the recipient. Mm-hmm. So it's so amazing to be able to see that.
That is so cool. Well, we only have about 4 minutes left. So if somebody for, you know, whatever might have hit their heart the closest, whether it is donating blood or maybe they want to be that person to really step forward and learn those skills and hit the ground running in disaster mode. What can we do? Where do we go from here?
Sure. So like I had mentioned with blood, if you are interested in donating, you can visit redcrossblood.org and you can search by your zip code and you can find a blood drive that is in a convenient place and at a convenient time for you. And you can sign up to do that. And if you feel so moved to volunteer, you can visit redcross.org and apply to be a volunteer. Like I mentioned, we have hundreds of volunteer positions, more than what we've just talked about here today. We have additional lines of service. So if you have an interest in giving back to your community, we certainly have a position for you.
Yeah. What if, for whatever reason, we're not interested in volunteering, but we just want to be a little safer at home? I know Red Cross has tons of information and, you know, even some courses to make sure that people are safe.
Absolutely. So you can visit our website, redcross.org, for tips. You can do that if you want to take a class of first aid, lifeguarding, CPR. If you want to take a class, you can do that. You can also download our free emergency app. If you would like to know, hey, what's going on in my local community? Hey, there's a thunderstorm. Watch, there's a thunderstorm warning. It's a great way to keep you and your family safe.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. Thank you for keeping us updated on summer safety tips and a whole lot more of the various ways that you need to stay safe and also how you can keep others safe with the American Red Cross.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And that is Hope Roten from the Executive Director of the Mid-Central PA chapter of the American Red Cross. That's been here on Contact. I'm Brittany Madera, your host each and every Thursday morning on Connect FM. This portion brought to us by Community County Services, family-based mental health.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
This portion of the broadcast has been pre-recorded.